Case update. An arrest was made and charges filed in the disappearance of 9-year-old Christian Ferguson, covered in episode 75 of Trace Evidence. As much of the story is still developing, I wanted to take a few minutes to cover what we currently know. Welcome to this special short update episode of Trace Evidence. As always, I'm your host, Stephen Pacheco. In episode 75, I examine the case of 9-year-old Christian Ferguson, which quickly became one of the most disturbing, upsetting, and personally haunting cases I've ever covered. Christian, who suffered from a metabolic disorder which left him disabled, allegedly vanished on June 11, 2003. Christian, who was in the custody of his father, DeJuan Ferguson, was reportedly left in DeJuan's SUV. DeJuan alleged that Christian was having a medical emergency and so he placed his 9-year-old son in the car and began the drive to the hospital. However, along the way, DeJuan claimed to have stopped the SUV in order to use a payphone to call ahead to the hospital. It was during this phone call that DeJuan alleged the SUV was stolen, with Christian still inside. Later, during the investigation, police would discover no call had been made from that payphone to the hospital. 2 hours after the alleged abduction, DeJuan's SUV was located just 5 miles from the location of the payphone, parked at the end of a cul-de-sac near railroad tracks. Police were immediately suspicious of the story as, when the SUV was found, only Christian himself appeared to be missing. Left behind in the vehicle were multiple items of value, including 2 cell phones, a laptop, and a digital camera, and yet the disabled 9-year-old was nowhere to be found. While the search for Christian was thorough and extensive, no trace of the child could be found. However, the more investigators dug into Christian's life, the more disturbing information they discovered. They found multiple reports from nurses that the child was being mistreated, and even had an incredibly heartbreaking interview with Christian's younger brother, who acknowledged that the child had been mistreated, including being undernourished and ignored, leading to Christian's younger brother, 8 years old at the time, trying to feed him as he could see his older brother struggling with hunger, being fed sometimes as little as once a day. To hear the full details of this case, please go back and listen to episode 75, The Disappearance of Christian Ferguson, though I will warn you now, this is an extremely disturbing and upsetting case that involves terrible treatment and abuse directed at a disabled 9-year-old child. Suspicions at the time revolved completely around Christian's father. I went in detail pointing out written statements and verbal ones from law enforcement and medical professionals who doubted the story about the SUV being stolen, as well as questioning the health status of Christian on the morning he was allegedly abducted. Investigation would later show that a vehicle located near the payphone where the 911 call had been made from, belonged to a woman that DeJuan had an intimate relationship with and that DeJuan had keys to the car. It was also noted that this woman lived close to the location where the SUV was ultimately found. At one point during the initial part of the investigation, DeJuan was asked to take a polygraph test. It was at this time that he pulled back from cooperating with investigators and hired an attorney through whom all communication in the future would go, with DeJuan claiming his innocence. When Christian's younger brother, who had talked about sneaking food to the sick child, was spoken to by investigators, he reported that he shared a room with Christian, and on the morning in question, remembered DeJuan entering the room, wrapping Christian up in a blanket, and taking him out of the home. One of DeJuan's stepdaughters, DeShonda, who was 16 at the time, reported that on that same morning, she was awoken around 4 a.m. to the sound of DeJuan's SUV starting up and driving away. DeJuan's 911 call to report the crime came in at 6.09 a.m., leaving a 2-hour window during which time neither Christian nor DeJuan's locations could be verified. There were many questions floating around at the time. There were doubts that Christian was still alive when he was taken out of the house. There were those who suspected that he may have been experiencing a medical issue which, due to neglect, led to his death. And then there were those who believed that Christian was outright murdered and disposed of, with the SUV theft story being a complete cover-up. Christian's mother, Theta, who had fought hard and long for custody of her son, seriously doubted the story and always believed that DeJuan knew more than he had been telling authorities. Now, 16 years after his disappearance, charges have finally been filed in Christian Ferguson's case. According to an article published today in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, prosecutors in St. Louis County officially filed charges leading to the Thursday, October 3rd arrest of DeJuan Ferguson. DeJuan has been charged with one count of first-degree murder and is currently being held without bail. DeJuan's former lawyer reported to the Post-Dispatch that he has not yet been retained by his client and that he's not aware of any new evidence which led to these charges. However, it should be noted that on September 16th of this year, DeJuan's wife filed for divorce, alleging that DeJuan had sexually abused two of her relatives. She also filed for and was granted a protection order against DeJuan. Is it possible that after filing for divorce, DeJuan's soon-to-be ex-wife may have been a little more open with authorities about what exactly happened on the morning of June 11th, 2003? That's purely speculative at this point, but an interesting angle to look at, and something that could possibly have led to charges being filed after 16 years. I'm going to link to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch article in the notes for this short update episode, as it has a lot of information which is very interesting to read. At this particular time, we only know what has been stated, that DeJuan has been charged. In the coming weeks and months, we'll get a better idea of what evidence exists, what caused these charges to be filed after a 16-year delay, and hopefully we'll get some answers about what may have happened to Christian and where he can be found. My heart breaks for Theta, Connor, and all of Christian's family, and I sincerely hope that you are finally getting the justice and answers that you deserve. For me, this was an extremely emotional episode, and there's not been a single day since its release that I haven't thought about Christian. I know, based on emails and messages that I get, it's true for many of you as well. So that's what we've got. And while it isn't exactly uplifting, I'm personally glad to see these charges filed, and I look forward with eager anticipation to how this all plays out in a court of law. I'll keep my eyes open and on things to update you again in the future, pending more information and official statements from law enforcement. I sincerely hope that justice is about to be served, and we're finally going to find out the truth about what happened to Christian Ferguson.